I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Welcome to Epiphany. I noticed with some disappointment that somebody forgot to put up the Epiphany decorations at the mall. In our culture, Epiphany is at best an afterthought. For most, it's completely forgotten. They moved on to Valentine's Day.
Yes.
They want to make money. Granted, Epiphany, at least as we observe it, is not as fun as Christmas, but it's just as important. In some parts of the world, it's even more important in some ways. In New Orleans, Epiphany is a very big deal, with parades and the run-up to Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
In Latin and Eastern Orthodox countries, the Festival of the Three Kings is when many Christians actually exchange gifts, which makes sense because that's when Jesus got gifts. But just like Christmas, Epiphany is more than just one day. It's a season, namely the season between Christmas and Lent. It's a time we celebrate the light of Jesus growing beyond just the manger in Bethlehem to the whole world. Gentile astrologers have seen the star and have come from a great distance to worship someone else's Messiah. Could it be that this baby, this Jesus, would be good news for the whole world? In our weekly gospel lesson, Epiphany is the time when we hear about pivotal moments in the life and ministry of Jesus. During Epiphany, we usually hear the stories of the wedding feast of Cana, when Jesus performed his first miracle. We hear of other great acts of power, of miracles. And at the very end of Epiphany, spoiler alert, we hear the story of Jesus' transfiguration. But this morning, we're at the beginning, we hear of Jesus' baptism. This is the year of Luke, so most of our gospel readings will come from Luke's account of Jesus' life. If you recall, we've actually already met John the Baptist in Luke's gospel. We hear John's birth narrative. Zechariah and Elizabeth have a miraculous son promised in their old age. And then Mary, the cousin of Elizabeth, is also expecting a child of promise. And at the beginning of Luke chapter 3, we hear John, who is now grown into adult, burst onto the stage shouting, "Prepare the way of the Lord." We are told John is in the wilderness, not just prophesying, but proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He's going throughout the wilderness countryside near the Jordan River baptizing. Now, baptism was around before Jesus and John were even born. Ritual washings were nothing new for Jews. Bathing and washing were daily rites, and still are, that Jews observe before they eat, many different reasons that they wash hands and sometimes their entire body. If you go to Jerusalem, and I was able to visit there some years ago, outside the temple, you'll see remnants of what were baths outside the temple, so people could wash themselves before they went into the temple. That's what they were required to do. So the idea of purifying yourself with water was nothing new. What was different with John was that John talked about this as a repentance of inward sin, not outward uncleanliness. He talked about this as he, in the immediacy of his message, he said, "Repent and prepare. Prepare for the one who is to come." John is asking people to get washed, and this is a connection to the cleansing and preparation for the Messiah that was coming. Why is John baptizing them in the Jordan River? If John wanted a more popular business, you'd think he would set up shop in Jerusalem. The Jordan is no quick trip from Jerusalem, especially on foot in those days. People weren't stopping by on their way home from work. It was quite a journey. You had to make the effort to go to the Jordan River. What significance does the Jordan have in the life and story of Israel? Remember that the land God promised to Moses and the children of Israel lay across the Jordan River, and God parted the waters of the Jordan so that the Ark of the Covenant could cross into the Promised Land. The Jordan represented this last step of the journey for a people who had longed for a homeland since their days of slavery in Egypt. Across the Jordan was the Promised Land, described as a land flowing with milk and honey, a place where God would keep his promises and fulfill the destiny his children. So this morning, here we are standing with Jesus and John on the banks of the Jordan River. Jesus has been baptized by John. The heavens open. The scene shows Jesus arising from the water, very Hollywood moment, and entering the promised land anew, and God's blessing rests upon him in the form of a dove. And that's not the end. God speaks. God's voice is heard. You are my beloved son. With you I am well pleased. God is pleased. What were the other times we've heard God saying that God was pleased? The first chapter of Genesis, when God sees the creation and calls it good. Jesus represents a symbolic fresh start, a new creation. We'll have to stay tuned in the coming weeks to hear more of his story. But God's light has shined on this man, Jesus, and God's favor has been revealed. It is his epiphany. Immediately after this reading, Jesus begins to call disciples. His earthly ministry has begun. Now, if we flash forward to the lesson from Acts, we hear the first generation of the church. We hear how baptism is being regularly practiced by his followers. But for these new believers, their water baptism came with their own moment of epiphany. Here, Peter and John lay hands on them, and the Spirit came down upon them just as it had upon Jesus as he came up out of the water. This is a Sunday when the church traditionally holds baptisms. These are the same waters through which Jesus passed. Most of you passed through the waters of baptism at some point in your life. Perhaps some of you in this very parish, at this very font. It's a heritage we share, and Jesus himself leads the way. This morning, we are struggling as a nation. Fires and storms rage, causing untold misery. The Episcopal clergy and laity in California have lost their homes. Churches that burn. Politically, we remain divided as well, holding our breath as a new administration is about to take office. When the news is upsetting and scary, we often ask ourselves, what kind of future do we have as a country? We cannot know. We don't have the power to see the future. Only God does. What we can do is look back. When we look back, we remember how God has been with us. God has been faithful. This moment tells us that God will continue to be with us. God's faithfulness has not come to an end. Have hope. Keep the faith. Jesus has gone through these same waters before us. We are simply following in his footsteps. Truly, it was the servant leadership exemplified by Jesus himself, washing his disciples' feet, touching the untouchable, loving the forgotten, and Jesus' ministry begins here at his baptism. It is traditional today as well to renew our baptismal vows. We will do that here in a second. And these questions that follow have formed our earthly mission as Episcopalians for generations. So let us recommit ourselves to the work God has given us. And if you would turn to page 304, we will recite our baptismal vows.